back to the Teen Wolf Recap Show here on Variety Radio Online. As always, my name is Brancy, and I am joined tonight by Ella and Parrish to discuss this most recent episode of Teen Wolf titled The Sword and the Spirit. So, Ella, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm pretty good. Parrish, how are you doing?
I'm a little under the weather, but I'm doing pretty good.
Oh, no. I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
But so we're going to talk about the most recent episode of Teen Wolf. First, I think we should acknowledge the fact that we're finally done with, like, the flash forwards. Like, we're completely caught up now. Thank God.
Hopefully.
Because I was so sick of that. Jeff, don't do that again, please. Because you just do it in a strange way. I can't keep track. But we finally come full circle in this episode. So from here on out, we're completely in present day, thankfully. But when we start off in the episode, Gerard is back again. And, you know, nobody wants to talk about Gerard. But he does pose a little bit of helpfulness. He somehow manages to freeze the Dread Doctors. And he says because he's tapping into their frequency for some reason,
yeah.
Which I don't know how. But whatever, Gerard. If you can make them go away, then I guess that's fine. But they do find a bunch of bodies covered in bugs, which was disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
That was really nasty. But apparently the bodies were killed somewhere else and they were moved into the tunnels. And I'm not sure. Did they make it clear? I'm pretty sure we don't know who's killing those bodies because we know that the bodies...
I thought they said it was the Dread Doctors, you know, where they were testing the Chimeras.
Yeah, because, see, that's what I was wondering, because I know they put a bunch of dead Chimera bodies by the Nemeton, but I was like, that's a lot of bodies down there. Are those the ones that never even made it past the experiment phase? Like, did they just die too soon to even test? I don't know.
Yeah, that I'm not sure, but I know, like, the ones that were put by the Nemeton were from Parrish.
Right.
He's put those by the Nemeton, but I don't know if those are the ones that were before Parrish started realizing what he was, or, you know, starting...
Right.
Or coming to town or something, you know.
Yeah. I'm still not completely sure how they ended up there, but regardless. So Theo, oh Lord, we think we can trust him for like half a second when he tells Malia that he's going to help her find her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And finally we're getting some answers there. And he puts these like weird goggle things on her, which looked painful, felt bad for her in that moment. But Malia finds out that her mom is actually already in Beacon Hills. So they want to go off and face her, but Brayden tells her, you know, they're just not ready. But you know what? Malia's determined, and she's not going to listen to that. So
yeah.
Later on, everything comes to a head. But before that happens, we've got a little bit going on with Liam and Scott. They have a little moment down in the tunnels. It's still not a complete, like, friendship regained kind of thing, because Liam still feels obviously really guilty about trying to kill Scott, and Scott just, you know, can't trust him yet, which is understandable. I mean, he tried to kill him, let's be honest.
Yeah, Liam, Scott tells him, you know, he hadn't told him he was sorry yet, but
yeah.
Liam thought that he had to save his life in order
right.
to say he's sorry, not just say sorry.
Yeah, exactly. And I do see that, so I see where they're coming from there. But they do form, at least, like, for the time being, a sort of truce, but it's not, like, an everything's all okay anymore kind of thing. So we're getting there. Just going to take a little time. So they end up meeting up with Gerard and Chris Argent, and they talk about the Beast and this battle between the Beast and the Hellhound, which is apparently going to bring about the apocalypse. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of stuff going on in Beacon Hills. And like I know me and Ella were talking before we started recording this, they make it clear yet again that Parrish is a Hellhound. Like,
yeah,
how many times are we going to do this? It just keeps happening. But they do
I
make
guess
it
people,
more...
everybody knows that he's a hellhound.
Apparently.
New people come up, you know. Like, hey,
it's going to be like
hellhound.
The end of the season, and then it happens again. We're going to be like, oh, God, we get it. We're done. Oh, man. But the battle with the beast is yet to come. So I have a feeling that's probably going to be, if not the season finale, then, like, the penultimate episode. And it's all going to, like, have the fallout happen in the finale or something like that. But
yeah.
We're supposed to find out more about that. But meanwhile, Styles actually goes to visit Lydia in Eichenhaus, and she's still in a catatonic state at this point because everything that's going on with her and Meredith is just happening really in her head, and she's actually still catatonic in Eichen. So he basically gets kicked out by her mom, but not before he notices that her head has been shaved, so obviously that's something sketchy. So he decides to swipe the orderly's ski card, which I'm happy about, because somebody got it. And at the end of the episode, you know, we see that whole plan start to kind of form, even though it hasn't all taken. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Looks like that's going to be like the next episode. But going back to Malia, Theo, he shoots her.
I don't know why everyone feels like they can trust him. Like, he's proven time and time again that he cannot be trusted. And for some reason, they keep trusting him.
I don't think everyone trusts him. Brayden didn't trust him. And he's totally, you know, basically not bring him. But
What was he thinking? Oh, my God.
Brayden is the only one who is being smart in the situation. You can't trust Theo. You just can't. And the fans, too. Guys, did you really think he was suddenly going to become, like, morally good? Like, no.
No.
He's like the biggest gray area.
Yeah, like, he's the biggest gray area ever. Like, sometimes he can do some good things, but it's only if it's in his best interest.
Yeah.
So. Oh, Theo. I wasn't shocked, but yet again, you disappoint so many people. But Malia faces off with her mom, which I want to get your guys' opinion on this, because we find out that her mom, who we also know as the Desert Wolf, says that Malia stole her abilities by being born and everything. And I don't know. What do you guys think of that whole plot line? You think it's too much?
I don't know. If it's because that Malia's a fox, right? No, she's wolfed.
She's a coyote.
Yeah.
She was an animal different than the wolf. Maybe it's because she was a different animal.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it took her powers away.
Right. I don't know. Parrish, what do you think about it?
I don't know.
I think they're just doing so much right now that they keep putting in these little things that are it's just too much. But apparently Deaton tells her mom, do we know her name, by the way, so I can stop saying her mom?
Karina?
Karina? I don't know. I'm just going to call her the Desert Wolf. For now. So, Deaton basically tells the Desert Wolf that unless she kills Malia under a full moon, then she's not going to be able to regain her abilities, which, I mean, in theory, it makes sense that it would have to be under a full moon. I don't know how she took her abilities, though.
Mm-mm.
I don't either. That's something they're probably going to talk about later on.
Of course, in Jeff Davis fashion, giving us a little information. I don't know. But I guess we're going to find out more whenever they face off again. Because Lydia has a premonition about Malia being hurt and is able to piss her energy into her scream. And she shatters the glass in the lights above Deaton, and it gives them a distraction long enough for Malia to do something in the fight so she doesn't, you know, completely die, which would be bad. So that gives them just enough distraction for the beast to show up. So Malia basically has this choice that she can either kill her mother or she can save Deaton, and she chooses to save Deaton. So obviously that means that something's going to be happening in the future, because there's no way that's the end of the Desert Wolf.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either. I mean, she still wants her powers back, so.
Yup, they do. But she does save Deaton. I think it's funny how they've had him, like, hidden this whole season, because, you know, he's been on, like, The Walking Dead as Father Gabriel.
Yeah, I know. But he's so much better on Teen Wolf.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's way better on Teen Wolf.
I cannot stand Father Gabriel.
Me either.
He is so annoying. It's awful. Oh, my God. I'm done with Father Gabriel, like, forever. So he can just come back to Teen Wolf full time now. If he wants. That'll be fine. But he's safe for now. Who knows what they're going to do after this. But Lydia, when she screams, she kind of comes to, and we get that whole scene that we saw within the season premiere of her fighting off the guards and everything. And at this point, we've now come full circle, and we're caught up with all that. Thank God. I'm done with the flash-forward stuff. It's awful.
Are you sure we're caught up? Is this thing
you know what? I don't know. Jeff? We better be caught up, or I'm going to be really upset. Okay. So, at the end, we see a little bit of Deucalion. How you guys feel about that?
Oh, my God! I forgot about that!
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So, Theo apparently wants to steal the Beast's power, and then he's got Deucalion here. So, Deucalion says that he wants Scott's eyes in his claws. That's just a mess. This whole thing is going to be disastrous.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing him again, though. I actually like this character. I didn't like Gerard, but it looks like I might like him this go-round.
Right. Now that he's not a complete pain.
Peter back. Yeah. They still need to bring Peter back.
They should
and
bring
Derek.
Peter back. Yeah, they should. Then we can really come full circle here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't understand. That scene they did with Parrish when he was in Afghanistan. So, do you think he died then and became the Hellhound? Came back as a Hellhound, or he was already the Hellhound even in Afghanistan?
I don't know.
Y'all remember that scene where he was
doing
it with a bomb?
Right. I don't know. I guess he always was, but he didn't realize it. I don't know why, though, like why he shut that out. I don't know. I'm sure Jeff Davis is going to give us some explanation. Some memory wiping stuff. I don't know. But at the end, we see that they are all getting this plan together so that they can get Lydia out. Thankfully.
Yeah.
So, hopefully. I think that's what the whole next episode is supposed to be about, right? About them breaking in to save her from Eichenhaus?
I don't know if I didn't get to see the preview.
I didn't see the previews either. And Wolf Watch doesn't come on anymore, so.
Right, I know it like completely disappeared. I don't know. But I think that that's at least for the most part what the next episode is going to be about. So, I'm sure we'll see some mess going down then. But obviously, they've got to get her out. I mean, I just don't know how it's going to happen. But it will happen. But I think other than that, that's all that I had for the episode to discuss. Did you guys have anything else?
Just that, like I said, that scene with for Gerard was willing to put a blowtorch to Parrish's eye to make him realize that he's a hellhound.
Oh, yeah. Because we had to make that extra clear, apparently. But I think that's it, though. Did you guys have anything else?
No. Trying to look over my notes. I don't see anything.
All right.
Oh, the when they're back in the cave with Argent and them, and Scott tells him that he saw that, you know, you remember, like, I think it was in the second episode where he saw some writing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he tells him that, you know, he tells him what it was, and then Gerard translates it, and he says that the beast is wanting to remember who he is.
Oh, right. That's right. I do remember that now. Oh, yeah. I wrote that down, too. I'm such an idiot. No, I do remember that because, okay, yeah. So who is it? That's the question.
Ooh. Let's go out and get this. And we'll see who's right at the end of the season. Thing is, I really have no idea who it could even possibly be.
Yeah.
It's probably that deputy that thinks something supernatural is kind of going on.
It's got to be someone.
From the beginning of the episode when the school was on lockdown.
Yeah.
And and Scott and Styles asked that deputy, like, what do you think is going on? And he's like, I think it's something supernatural.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's got to be somebody that we've seen, but we haven't gotten a lot of their background on. Because, like, they can't just throw us a completely random character that nobody would care.
They better not. No, they can't do it today because he's already like a true wolf.
Yeah.
Maybe no, can't be Peter. I don't know. I don't know.
It could be anyone.
Oh, and that one Kira scene that was in there where her dad was breaking down the sword.
Mhm.
Oh yeah, that did happen. Lots of stuff going on, but thankfully, we're in present day. Thank God. We better be. Jeff Davis, no more funny business, please. Can't handle it anymore. But other than that, I think that's all we had for this episode. Correct, guys?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening, and we will be back next week to discuss the next episode of Teen Wolf. And if you want to check out more of the Teen Wolf recaps, you can go to thevro.com, and you can also visit our Audio Boom channel, where you can hear all of our lovely podcasts at audioboom.com/channel/variety-radio-online. And until then, you guys have a great week, and you enjoy the next episode of Teen Wolf, and we'll be back to discuss it. Goodbye, guys!
Bye. Bye.